something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play Canots with songs from the 2000s.
We find out who's been staying in Jonathan's room when he hasn't been there.
Plus, what exactly is in an intimacy kit? That's all coming up right now on TNT.
59, Jonathan Torrens, how are you today?
So far, so good, bud. This is going to be our second week in a row that we're getting a potty out the door.
I know. This is burning. We're burning. We're on fire.
We're burling. It's exciting.
We're cooking up the steak like in Raging Bull. It's getting all black.
And we have a history, or maybe I do, of sounding great when I'm in hotel rooms. And I'm in a hotel room now in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Las Vegas, eh?
Beautiful Las Vegas. I actually saw Salvador working at Starbucks here yesterday, and he was over-pronouncing people's names, like, can I get your name, please? Sheila? Chilas? Like, just Sheila. And when I got up to the counter and saw his name tag, his name was Jim. And I'm like, would that be Yeem? He didn't. He kind of had my coloring, and he had a man bun. And I'm not even positive that
he wasn't Spanish.
But I love that he was working at the Starbucks. Color
and had a blonde man bun.
Yeah. No, his face, like his skin was my color, and his hair was probably a notch or two darker. But he certainly didn't look like Antonio Banderas.
Blue eyes?
Yeem. Yeah, blue eyes. Oh, dude. I had the craziest time getting here because it's well documented that I often have trouble when I'm traveling.
Yeah, always.
So my flight was a bit late out of Halifax. That wasn't a big deal. When I get to Newark, it's a United flight bound for Vegas. They announce at the gate, guys, here's what's going on. We have a short runway. We have a big plane. We have a headwind, and it's too heavy. So we can do one of two things. 60 people can volunteer to get off, or we'll stop somewhere for gas on the way.
Because they got to thrust their way out of it.
They'd have to ditch some gas before we took off, and we wouldn't have enough to get to Vegas, so we'd have to stop somewhere for gas. Mm-hmm. And they actually, in the waiting area, did a show of hands who thinks 60 people should get off. And now show of hands who wants to stop somewhere for gas.
Come on.
It was very diplomatic and democratic.
Yeah, I guess that's the way things have come. How did it go over?
Well, what they ended up doing is they took everybody, and United has a guy or a girl in Chicago who's the air traffic control liaison, and they got that person to call Newark and suggest, why don't you just turn everything around so that all the outgoing flights are going with a tailwind instead of a headwind, and that was enough.
Nice.
So that didn't happen quickly, as you can imagine. So I was a couple hours late getting to Vegas. Then there was an hour and a half delay at the luggage carousel because of a bag jam.
Never heard of a bag jam.
I know. Somehow in the little roller, everything got all jammed up, and somebody's bag came down the thing with, like, short sticking out of it and the bottom had broken, which would be the worst feeling.
Of all things, hanging big pair of shorts.
So this is what's greasy. I get to the hotel. It takes 20 or 30 minutes to check in. It's Saturday night in Vegas. It's, you know, 2:30 in the morning or something. So things are in full swing. And I'm really tired because that's 6:30 in the morning for me. I get up to my room and there are wet towels on the bathroom floor and a half glass of champagne on the counter. Some Baja Fresh garbage sitting in the garbage can. But otherwise, no, like, visible signs of anyone there. One of the beds was messed up and one wasn't. So I called down to the front desk. I was so tired. I didn't feel like walking the 7 miles back and getting another room. And I said, can you just promise me that nobody's going to bum rush? Like, come on, Grant, let's have one more before we call it a night, bud. Like, a couple of dudes showing up in my room when I'm sound asleep. Yeah. So they said my keys would have canceled out their keys if there was anybody. Ultimately, I think they had checked out and they just didn't reset the room. But yeah. When I got back the next day, there was a baseball hat on my table. And I hadn't seen it before. So I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This baseball hat, it's a Quicksilver. It's a Quicksilver baseball hat.
Some guy who lives in an hotel.
Like, am I sharing a room with somebody, but he works nights?
Yes, exactly.
And he comes home to take off, have a glass of champagne, take off his Quicksilver hat, and sleep.
He's as shocked as you are when he walks in. Yeah.
He's telling someone right now, dude, there's dress shoes in my room. I don't get it.
And both beds are messed.
Yeah, right.
He's like, okay, I'll sleep in the bed I slept in last night, but we gotta fix this.
And
he leaves with his...
And do you want to hear the craziest thing? My hat was moved. Because I did pick it up. And like, I don't understand. It's one of those like cardboard flat brim Quicksilver hats.
As you're leaving, you see some other guy with hat head yelling at the desk like five away from you. Just raging. I know someone's in my room. I know it.
My key's not working. I can't get in to get my hat. He has a skirted egg.
He can't. He really needs his hat.
So in my room, there is like a box of chocolate chip cookies and a box of almonds and a box of M&M's. And then there's a box labeled Intimacy Kit.
Oh, no.
What do you think is in it?
Should we play a game?
Do you want to guess what's in the Intimacy Kit?
Sounds great.
Here, let me shake it and you can hear what it sounds like. Unless it's empty because the guy with the hat's been using it. Oh, barf. All right, here comes the shake of the Intimacy Kit. You ready?
He could be there later tonight. Like he's still in the room, right?
I come in tomorrow morning, the Intimacy Kit is opened, contents are gone, and one bed's messed up.
As soon as you go out to work, he just randomly gets the new key and
he's
sleeps
hiding
6 hours.
In the
hours.
Ice room.
He's like the owning Mahoney guy going down and just gambling his life away.
And he's figured out a room scam. He has a friend that works here. He's like, you know what? You can have a room for 6 hours, but they're watching me go to work. And when I'm coming back, someone gives him the high sign. And I came back unexpectedly, so he forgot his hat.
How big is the box?
I'm going to say it's...
Like a pack of darts?
4.5 inches by 3 inches.
So like
by 2 inches. Like cologne box.
Cologne box.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
I can already see the picture that's going to go with this week's pod. It's the Intimacy Kit and the baseball hat.
The crimp. Anyone with that like crimp in their hair, that it's clear they were wearing a hat all the time.
Kent, you have to get out of the room. He's coming back. What? I need to get out.
I need my hat. that hot dealer is there. I gotta get my hat.
It's also, if you needed something for your head, I don't know why you would go in this direction. There's nothing like, oh, that's a good hat about it at all. It's just a garbage hat. All right, here comes the shake of the Intimacy Kit. Ready?
Yeah. Wow, there's stuff.
You think
in
it's
there.
A handbook on how to talk about your feelings?
Wow.
Oh my gosh, it's taped shut, and if I open it, I'm going to have to pay for it.
Of course you have to pay for it. That's part of the deal.
All right, there's a list of contents on the outside of the Intimacy Kit. There are, oh dear, there are 4 items. If you can guess 3 of them, you win.
Okay.
Intimacy kit. I almost barfed at one.
Is two of the things the list the same, or are they all different four things?
Well, okay, so there are multiple quantities of some things, but there are four separate items.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, well, we know there's a couple domes in there.
Yes.
And you know there's some lube in there.
Yes. Two for four.
There may or may not be a cock ring in there.
It doesn't say so on the box. Really?
I'm just going down the list of like stuff that's usable in the small box. I don't know, latex gloves. I mean, why do you see those in every alley and parking lot in the world?
I guess
something's going on.
No. Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
What this item might be as a courtesy to your partner. So, well, they both are in the umbrella category of freshness.
Oh. Okay, so some kind of wipes?
Yeah.
Sanitary wipes?
Yeah.
So that's the third thing?
Yeah, that's three out of four. You already won. Can you guess what the fourth is? It's a bonus.
I don't know. Fourth thing.
Say you'd been pounding some Mr. Chow all night. A couple cigars. You might want to have one of these.
So is it like a settle your stomach, like a tablet?
Yes, it's in that neighborhood.
Like the Pepto-Bismol tablet?
That's so gross. Breath mints.
Breath mint. Oh, that's so greasy.
It's pretty greasy, isn't it? Hey, quick, I need my hat. I'm going to need a couple domes. And does anybody have a shirt?
No. No, he throws them in his mouth. That was a great time. Thanks. Crunching them up.
You know, with certs, if you have one, is it a cert? Or is it a certs?
I think that's a certs tablet. There are just certs all the time.
Same with certs, a halls. Would,
certs Pass is me probably a halls. The it's dude not a hall. Came, the dude who's still laughing on the beach, great grandson who created it.
Certs. You know Alex? Yeah, his dad invented certs.
Certs without the retsin.
What is retsin?
The green stuff in the middle. I don't know if it would have had more to do with like cleaning your like a mouthwash or some kind of deal. I don't know. Not a Man. Big knowledge guy on the breath mints.
On the retsin? Breath mints. They're so visual. I mean, prophylactics are obvious, but when you get into wipes and breath mints, like, ah.
It just turns 70s. It sounds like it's all of a sudden like it's just some greasy old guy. Thanks a lot, baby.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Studio 54 in a box.
Like, I'm not going to waste these. I paid for it.
Gross.
How much is it? Like, 14 bucks?
Oh, that's a good question. Stand by. I wonder if it would say right on it.
You know they're going to grind you because you got to use it when you need it. So they're going to rack that price right up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's not an item that you get just in case. That's a, quick, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
It doesn't say.
Oh, you'll know if you take it.
Well, did
you
take
it out of the box where the thing... Oh, you cracked it open?
No, I didn't crack it open. It's still taped shut.
Doesn't say. Call down. Call the front desk.
Yeah. Can you bring me up 3 intimacy kits?
Clearly ain't good enough here.
Did I ever tell you I was staying in an upscale hotel in Toronto? I think I told you this. And I was talking to the concierge and I said, what's the weirdest thing you've ever been asked for? And he said, a liter of maple syrup and a roll of saran wrap.
Oh yeah, that's real greasy.
Greasy. He said it was an adult film producer who was entertaining some friends. And that, it took me a while to even wrap my head around
making
how those
movie
items would be worth.
Friends coming over.
I have a couple friends coming over. Hey, we're going to play, it's kind of an old favorite on the show. Remember when we played Canadies and Canindies? We're going to play Canots. We've never done anything in the 2000s.
No.
So we've each pulled five songs for Knots.
Yeah.
And then tried to stump each other. It was interesting doing research into that decade because I don't know if you could define it musically.
No, it was kind of a bridge between the 90s kind of music, I guess in a sense, revolution of the early 90s where music was so big and bands were so popular, and then it became more song-based. So it was kind of a wash space between that and whatever the new stuff now is.
It was the space between. What happened to him? Dave Matthews, is he just sitting on a grape farm?
Yep.
Counting his money?
He gets back. He still has his band, and then he gets back together with the Dave Matthews band, and they go out and they crush some summer festivals for...
Drop some pee out the bottom of the bus and away they go.
50-60 milli for a summer's work, and then go back home to the farm.
Never saw them in concert. Didn't really dig the music, though I guess they're heavy players, because people that have seen them say they put on an unbelievable show.
Yeah, people seem to love it. They get right into it. I remember they kind of got hold of that foundation of fans throughout the, like, the Fish and the Grateful Dead days of, like, just kind of jam-oriented long songs, people digging the performances.
Like people wearing patchouli and long skirts dancing in a field. It's that.
Yeah, a lot of hacky sack playing and those three sticks hitting together going on.
And a lot of...
Imagine you and I, who would be better at those stick game with the hitting the sticks? No chance.
A lot of Nicaraguan hoodies?
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I used to sell those at Young and Dundas, big hit.
You did?
Yeah. My cousin,
what do you mean?
Had like clothing, and you'd set up there on the corner on the weekend before you get booted off selling.
And you'd work with him selling that Nicaraguan stuff.
Yeah, it was a big hit with the Birkenstock sock wearing public.
With the Moxie Fruvis set.
Yes.
Because nice. They used to busk on Young, didn't they?
Yeah.
With their Nicaraguan a cappella.
A baby likes a bunch of authors.
Yeah. Well, he's no Hornsby, that Dave Matthews. I'll tell you that for free. Let's take a break on TNT 59, and we'll be right back with Knots. Hang on.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
59, and we're back.
What do you think of Vegas? Have you spent a lot of time here over the years?
I have, and I think I generally just got sick of it because, well, for one... time in particular, I think I told you that I spent like a week there off because we were in OLP, we were opening up for Creed and like right when they were blowing up and they were already huge in the States, and Scott Stapp was getting all banged up on the reg and canceling shows all over the place. So I think in San Diego he bailed, and then we ended up a week just sitting around at Mandalay Bay in Vegas with nothing to do at all.
What a horror show.
So I ended up just
going
down.
Imagine being the tour manager for that band, and he's like, sorry guys, not feeling it.
Yeah. It sucks when that happens, but sometimes it's just pretty common with people that don't really have like the foundation of right and wrong or way to act, or you know what I mean? If it's not there and that happens to them, they can go off the deep end in terms of reality and act crazy.
I would say,
and think they're, you know, impenetrable and get super banged up all the time and start experimenting with all this crap.
Pop culturally, Creed is kind of in the same umbrella category as Nickelback, right? They're kind of pop culture punchline, or their music is kind of mocked a little bit.
Yeah, I think
were the guys in Creed aware that that was the case?
I think it works, and like there was Creed. I think was the first kind of one of the first really popular bands that people thought sounded like Pearl Jam or the grunge era. You know what I mean? Like the fake. False.
Really, they had that much cred.
No, I'm saying that's kind of what it was like. That sounds like a guy copying Eddie Vedder, similar to like when Candlebox were huge. It was kind of like a lighter version of what was coming out of grunge in Seattle. And then Creed was even lighter than that. And then Nickelback was kind of the third installment of that element, you know what I mean? But they were, it's hard to say, but it just seems that that's kind of how they were perceived, was just like more formulated version of music that they loved, you know what I mean?
To be clear, I'm not sweating Nickelback or Creed, because they wrote a bunch of songs that got played on the radio, and that's really hard to do, you know that better than me. But I'm just curious, when you're in an act like that, that is kind of a pop culture punchline, are you aware of that? Or do you shrug it off? Or the people around them just don't even really let that get to them?
No, they think they're writing great music. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's what the thought process is. They're trying to be honest with themselves, and that's the music that they love, is the music that they make. I'm more certain than that, than they just don't care and they're writing music that will be a hit and they hate it. You know what I mean? I think it's more the former, where they're devoted to what they're doing and they just kind of, it's a constant not misunderstanding of what a lot of people think that don't like it, you know?
Well, I guess every night if you go out and there are 20,000 people who would beg to differ that you suck, that's a pretty easy way to feel good about it, right?
Well, yeah, when you're massive and playing arenas.
We can't suck that hard, we're past them packing them in.
Yeah, but you think about it's interesting because there's different genres of music that it's more accepted. That style of rock and playing is like country music, modern country music. You can have a what I would think is super cheesy, but they're not at all regarded as cheesy one bit, which is interesting.
Right.
If you think of the difference. Like they're somehow allowed more credibility than if you're trying to do rock music, because it can have, you know what I mean? I think Keith Urban is kind of the more rock version of most country artists, but you can, the ones that are poppy, and it's, you can tell it's completely formulated, but because they become popular, it's validated in a sense.
Well, country music is kind of a weird one because it seems like there are two streams. A lot of fans of country music, of which I would include myself, kind of embrace the cliches. And there are a lot of songs about pickup trucks and breakups and keeping it simple on a Friday night. Like that's a perfectly serviceable avenue for country music.
But they don't take
knocks. But then there's this glossy country music stream too.
Sorry, they don't take the knocks that Creed would or those Nickelback at all, but
no, they don't.
The cliches are there just as much, you know, the formulated songs, the handful of musicians that play on every single one of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a pretty tight-knit scene that's very formula driven, right?
Have you seen Chris Stapleton?
Yeah, I think he's great. And then you have artists like
he's a real thing
that kind of are, they get accepted by it. But I mean, I remember Willie Nelson, even Johnny Cash would parade against that initial formula that became Nashville. You know, they were like, this isn't old school country music was no different than folk music or rock music, where you just had a feeling or a sound and you just did exactly what you wanted to do. But it's become, you know, it's like three or four small groups that put together most of the hit music that comes out of Nashville, and it's done a certain way. And if you mess with it, they usually will turn the other way, you know?
So I wonder who Willie Nelson was talking about back then. Like, would he have thought Alabama
was I don't think so. I think
too
it was
glossy.
Just the hit single driven stuff and just the way that things were going, he just felt that it was not acceptable. And it's, remember when Shania Twain blew up with Mutt Lange producing a country album? A lot of people took offense down there because it had nothing to do with that scene at all, but it was so big that it was almost kind of possibly changing the game, you know, that So there was probably a lot of animosity from Nashville about that, the way that that was made, you know?
Like, Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under could be a Def Leppard song.
Totally, 100%. And Mutt Lange was not, he was a formula guy too, big time. I heard it, remember hearing a story where he was like, he was doing a Bryan Adams song, and Bryan Adams walked in on him at night, like doing a backup vocal that Bryan had already done, and he was doing it different.
No.
Yeah, doing it himself. And he could sounding enough like him. And he's like, I knew you were doing this. Stop doing this. Yeah.
Sneaking himself on the record.
No, it just he wanted it a certain way or a note, a certain exact way. So he just did it himself. And he did that a lot. That's why he's like on everything that Shania did. Like he's the backups on all her records that he did. You always hear that.
Because all those songs voice, are right? lists.
Lifts of old vibes?
No, the lyrics are all lists. Like, whose bed have your boots been under? Have they been under this person's person's or this person's?
Oh, it's always that's how it works?
Yeah, that like lyrically, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Like, so you think you're Brad Pitt? Oh, you're a rocket scientist? Oh, you're a fireman? Oh, you're a cop? It's like, let's write a song about jobs that men have.
And it's always a list.
Shania will sing about, it's always a list.
Doesn't Love Bites do that too?
Yeah, when we make love, do you look in the mirror? Who do you think of? Does he look like me? It's like, it's questions and lists. It's really true.
It really is. I think the only band that wasn't really affected and didn't change when they worked with him was AC/DC with Mutt.
So what record did they do with him?
Freaking Back in Black, like the huge ones, right?
What?
But they still sounded like back in like a classic, like AC/DC, you know what I mean? They didn't really change. But Mutt Lange, he was all over those records, those couple huge ones.
Wow. And then wasn't he having intimate relations.
What's that?
With his best friend's wife. He started having intimate relations with his best friend's wife.
Yeah. And then Shania
ended up
with the dude.
Being with the dude, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's explained in one of those songs on the list.
Okay, here's an excerpt from Any Man of Mine, a Shania Twain song.
Another one.
Yeah. Any man of mine better be proud of me. Even when I'm ugly, he still better love me. And I can be late for a date, that's fine, but he better be on time. Any man of mine says it fits just right when last year's dress is just a little too tight. And anything I do or say better be okay when I have a bad hair day.
It's a list. It's just one.
It's a list. The Mutt Lange list. That's the formula.
guys, you need a list. Gotta have a list.
Guys, what's your list? Okay, let's start
list?
With
what?
The.
I don't hear a list.
When you make
here.
Love, what do you do?
I don't hear
when
a list.
When you make love, what do you do? Do you look in the mirror? Who do you think of? Who does he look like?
Who's he look like?
Right? These are the questions you need to ask when you're writing a song.
And it's all about putting those questions on the paper.
When you make a salad, do you use lettuce? Do you use green peppers? Do you maybe put in some cabbage? Do you throw in carrots? We just wrote a Mutt Lange song.
When you walk in your backyard, do you mow the lawn? Do you cut the grass on the other side? Do you have to get out the whippersnipper? Do you go in the shed and get a hammer? These are the things I'm asking, and you want? I don't see any of these songs you're giving me here.
I'm looking for a girl. Yeah. Bad. All right. What do you want to do? Canots?
Canots.
I cannot believe how much fun I had. Mostly because a lot of the bands that I found when I Googled like Canadian 2000s were like, they were on Jonavision.
All of them.
Yeah. Not all of them, but a good number of them was like, member.
But you never
there were some
had
good members.
You never had Nickelback when they were like 15.
I don't think they ever were classic. 15.
No, I know. They were
born
16 and breaking into houses.
Maybe it's Chad Kroger's hat in my room.
How many B&Es do you think he'd hit got into him, Chad?
In Aunt Pooh, Alberta?
Yeah.
The tiniest town in the world?
Yeah.
Where they grew up?
Or do you think it's all bullshit and he never broke into any of them?
Well, no. He co-wrote Here's to Never Growing Up, right? The Avril Lavigne track.
Yeah.
And that sure sounds like, hey, that's another list. They're hanging out at the back of the school. They're having a couple drinks. They're just getting wild. And when people are like, you guys need to grow up, they're like, no, we don't. That's the song.
Getting his mud on.
Here's to Never Growing Up.
No way.
All right, who's going first?
You go first.
Okay. We talked about playing Can-70s, and I confess that that is not my strong suit that
but,
era.
But I'm sure you could find enough that would be great, though. Maybe in the future.
Yeah, maybe in the future. We'll circle the wagons back. Maybe we'll do Can-70s next, then Can-80s, then Can-90s, then Can-00s again. But it just occurred to me we've never done Can-00s. And I
and Can-50s is just like, it's just Paul Anka and the...
Yeah. Can-50s. Okay, here comes your first track on Can-00s. You ready?
Can-00s, first track. Let's go. Bass is bass.
Bass is bass. Funkmobile. Yeah. Should we let it ride to the chorus? It's actually a good groove.
Sure. Razor
these masks went on Jonavision. Dunk, dunk, down. I know, by the way, I know what game that we've always wanted to play, and it's a fun one. And I can ask you a question just based on what's in the column beside this video. It's called How Many Views? And we just give each other videos that are on YouTube, and you have to guess roughly how many views it has.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's good.
How many views would you say the Ivana Santilli, the jazz, is she a trumpet player?
I think so, yeah, and piano.
From bass's bass.
Yeah, she's a little bit of everything. She's great. I did a, I sat in with those guys once for did a gig with them in the around that time.
Bass is bass?
Yeah.
Really?
I was good friends with Chin and Ivana and Roger as well. Definitely. Good bods.
And Roger's now like Master Chef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got
that like, restaurant at Terminal One at Pearson.
Yeah, I crashed some amazing breakfast there a couple weeks back when I was heading
it's
out.
It's really good.
Yeah, when I on my actually so, my turn that's how I started my the terminal day.
East Coast Terminal Day.
King's restaurant.
How many views does Ivana Santilli's MTV Cribs segment have?
A couple hundred thousand.
See, I would have thought 3,000, but it has 35,000 views.
There you go. You never know with those things.
You never do.
Yeah, it's a difficult.
All right, what's my first one, bud?
I thought you were going to ask me how many views Funkmobile had.
Oh.
Doesn't
matter. I already closed the window.
Are you ready for your first jam?
Yes.
Because this is a beauty.
Okay. Oh, you had a bad day, Daniel Powder.
Yeah.
Oh. It's Powder.
You crying? I didn't see you. Are you crying?
Here comes the minor.
Carrying on.
Dun, dun, segada.
Standing in line just to get a new knit hat.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Okay, I'm turning it off.
Powder is such an unusual spelling for a last name. It's not powder or power. It's Powder.
Powder, not like the movie Powder.
What are the odds that Daniel Powder of Had a Bad Day fame is related to Susan Powder of Stop the Insanity fame?
Get the fuck out of here.
remember her? She looked like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. That's true. Are you making
that up? No, I don't know if they're related.
Oh, that would
But it's just, I had forgotten that Susan Powter was a thing.
I forgot how popular. Remember how that she had a show on TV?
And she'd shake
her arms around and go, "Grr!"
Yeah, she had a whole talk show and a whole thing. It was a lifestyle.
It was like
seven. All right, here's your second Canucks jam. You ready?
7-year run. Yeah, hit me.
Good luck.
Thanks. Gonna need it. Oh. Nobody's supposed to be here. Is it Julie Black?
Close.
Oh, no. I'm Deborah Cox. Sorry. That's terrible.
Well, remember my joke with Wide Mouth Prison?
Yeah.
I think that song holds the record for being the longest running number one jam on the Billboard R&B charts. Nobody's Supposed to Be Here, Deborah Cox. And there was a fast remix of it that is bumping.
Is it?
She's
that
nice
was, lady. Yeah, you're right. That was like a smashing, big, huge hit in the States for like a long time.
And she's a nice lady. I think she's doing the Lord's work.
Good job.
Yeah. Good guess, bud. You're 2 for 2.
Yes.
Hit me.
You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready, Arias?
Yeah. Wow. It's got to be Nickelback.
Nope. Not Nickelback.
Who the clam is that? No idea.
Listen to those lyrics.
Did Mutt Lang write this? Uncle Cracker?
No.
I had a moment where I thought, is Uncle Cracker Canadian?
Nothing turns out right. I hate my life.
Oh. Who is this?
Theory of a Dead Man.
Oh.
Nothing turns out right.
I forgot about them maps.
It's that song.
My boss I completely is a dick. Forgot about those maps.
My boss oh, is man. A dick.
At a different Starbucks yesterday, the guy who was working was an older gentleman. You often notice when you're in the States that people that work in jobs that are typically young people's jobs in Canada are often people that are kind of late 50s, early 60s in the States, which is kind of nice. Like folks bagging your groceries and they're, you know, 60-something.
Yeah.
So the guy that was behind the counter at Starbucks, not Yim, but at another Starbucks, this one in the hotel, said, where are you from? And I said, Canada. And he said, oh, out and about?
Oh, man.
And I didn't have the muscles in my face to even, like,
yeah.
I couldn't even say it. And before I could say anything, he said, I was engaged to a girl from London, Ontario. And I said, oh, that's neat. And he said, yeah. She died.
He hits you with a died bomb right off the bat.
And I didn't say anything, and he said, I really miss her sometimes.
Oh.
Jesus.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
The hell did he think you were, Jesus?
In real time, like, that was 10 seconds. Yeah, I'm engaged to a girl from London, Ontario. She died. I miss her.
Like, miss her sometimes.
Venti Pike with room.
Like, he's like, because you didn't give me a hug, I'm not giving you room for cream or milk.
Yeah, that's it. He went back there in his mind. okay, you ready?
Okay, you ready?
I got an old-fashioned barn burner for you.
Is it me or is it you? Oh, yeah, I just did
I just
my
missed
life.
Theory of a Dead Man.
Yeah.
Okay, here comes your next one.
You out of my mind. What's up with this?
You never heard this?
No, I know it is, but this is Canadian?
Yeah.
I can't remember the title of it. Who is it? Is it like John Desmond or something like that?
Ish. They had,
Who was it?
They were Indecision, and then they became Soul Decision.
Oh, Soul Decision.
Yep.
Yeah, that was that a hit in the States? I can't remember. I don't remember that song.
I think so. Guess how many views Soul Decision, Ooh, It's Kind of Crazy has?
33,000.
Close, 25,000. Nice. But they had another jam called Faded. Kind of faded, but I feel all right. Think about making my move tonight. And that one has 159,000 views.
That's the
So maybe one. That one got some traction in the States.
Maybe. Are you ready for your next jam?
So we're both, are you still winning 2-1? No, it's 2-2.
2-2, we're all good. I think,
right? Square doesn't matter. Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Hit me. Yes. That's got to be Shania.
Yeah.
It's a list.
Yeah. Skin's acting weird. It's like a diary.
Yep. Is it Shania Twain or Shania Twain?
Shania Twain.
I can't remember the track, though.
Up.
Oh, yeah. Up, of course.
That's
not to be confused with...
Up, up!
Great Big Sea had a track called Up, right?
Did you Alan Doyler?
Yeah. I think they had a thing.
We had a couple people tweet in that they Alan Doyle'd. Like, one guy was, I believe he was shoveling his driveway and he Alan Doyle'd. And the other guy Alan Doyle'd right in front of Mr. Magic's car.
I know. That's like he landed a double.
Yeah.
I've almost Alan Doyle'd her a few times in my hotel bathroom because it's marble floor. And, you know, there's remnants of the intimacy kit all over the floor.
Yeah, and it's slippery.
Like marble floor and water? That's bad news bears,
man. No, it's horrible, yeah. Is it all gaudy
let's take a
with
quick
gold?
Break. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah?
It's Vegas-y marble. Like, I don't want Beats in the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a real quick break, bud, because this is a long segment, and then we'll be back to finish up Cannot.
And you know what I'm saying? The question is, have you ever killed a man?
Hello.
Do you know what I mean?
Hello there. Hello.
Did you watch Sting on the NBA halftime show?
Oh, man. He started out with that song. He did that song.
I couldn't believe it.
That's the first thing he did.
Of all?
And it's the only song he played of his own music. And then he just went to the Police tribute.
Of all the jams he could have led with, I mean, they started with the Roxanne chords. And it was like, oh, yeah, remember? And then they went into Desert Rose. I thought of you immediately because I couldn't believe that even made it in.
I know.
And the decision to have Carmelo Anthony introduce him was so transparent.
Yeah.
Like, we have to
legitimize
him somehow.
He was almost gonna say, like, man, fuck this guy.
Right. Here's some bearded mask. Yeah. Here's some Captain Highliner looking mask.
Here's
sing
some
for
Game
ya.
Of Thrones looking mask.
How bananas was the six during the NBA All-Star game?
I kind of stayed away from the downtown just because of the madness. I didn't want to get stuck in traffic, but it was crazy. The city was banging. Everybody was stoked.
Oh my gosh. Have you been following Evander Kane?
He's sleeping in a lot now.
Well, he played himself. They had an afternoon game somewhere, maybe Buffalo. He private jets it to Toronto for the NBA All-Star game and doesn't make it to practice Monday. But the problem is, in this day and age of social media, he was Snapchatting videos of himself dancing on the dance floor with shaddies and empty liquor bottles and stuff.
Oh, man.
And the team is trying to maintain some decorum and say, like, well, Evander knows what he did, and, you know, we're going to deal with this internally. But, dude, it's out there for the world to see.
Yeah, that guy's got some serious issues with trying to keep a lid on the partying.
It seems so.
That's the first way to get yourself booted off a team.
Well, and there's probably a check and balance thing in place with veterans on the team, right? Who wouldn't have any time for that.
Well, yeah, imagine he was in like a Toronto or a New York or LA, like he'd be a mess.
He'd be ruined.
He'd be ruined.
He'd be ruined. All right, who's going? Is it me or it's you?
I don't know. Is it Mike? I just did Shania, didn't I? Was it?
Yeah,
was
you did.
Last.
Okay.
Was that Milos?
Pretty sure you'll know this one. You ready? Yeah. On Canots. Take a listen.
Canots. Yeah, that's the Treble Charger.
Treble Charger, American Psycho.
Yeah.
Which came out.
I know that one.
Around the exact same time as American Idiot, right?
I think before.
That has American a millsy. That has a million views.
Yeah, that was a lot on the radio lots back then.
Did Treble Charger ever make it in the States? Like, that track must have been on the radio in the States.
I don't think it really was. It might have been a tiny bit, and I know that that was supposed to be a big song, and everybody was excited about it, but it was mostly just in Canada.
Right.
But it was probably their biggest hit, I would say, for sure.
They're nice dudes.
Yes, absolutely. Good bods. Bill's a really cool dude.
Are they still together?
For sure. I don't know. Maybe. You never know. It's kind of like a lot of those bands that weren't together will get a call from an agency, and then they're back together for the weekend.
We can put together 20 dates for you guys this summer if you want. You can play at Cornfest in Yorkton.
Yeah.
Does Cornfest in Yorkton exist? Because it should.
Well, imagine you're doing something. You've done your career in any of those bands. Like, they do three shows for, you know, 15, 20 grand over a weekend. It's pretty easy to do it.
Yeah. What's not to like if you're working at Staples and you get the chance to get out and play some rock? There's a Cornfest in Morris, Illinois. And there's a Cornfest in Yuma, Arizona.
Sure there is. There's probably a Cornfest in every state in America.
There's a Grundy County Corn Festival. That's what it's called in Morris, Illinois.
Remember cheap weed? Everybody would say, who's smoking the corn dope? People in my old neighborhood, who's smoking that corn dope?
What is corn dope?
It's like bad weed. Old person.
Never heard
speech
it.
Speech for bad. Oh, who's smoking that cheap corn dope?
I'll tell you what, Travis, you better get off that corn dope. It's making your mind fuzzy.
Come in here. It stinks like cheap corn dope. I know you're up to something, son.
Where's Travis? He's down in Vegas getting all hopped up on corn dope, playing the one-armed bandits with his baseball hat.
I know you're up to something. You bought that big army lock box and you got a lock on it. Something in there, isn't this for sure? It's a bunch of got cheap corn dope in there. Gross. Hey, you know the kid who, like, turns 17 and decides he's got his own privacy and he buys the big army lock box.
And he wears the key around his neck? Yeah. Your old room smells like corn dope. It's Saturday morning. You get up and go drop off some resumes.
Pops it open. It's full of porno and booze and drugs.
Sears catalogs. All right, hit me. Sears catalogs. What's my next Canots?
Ready?
Yeah.
Canots. You remember this one there, bud?
Sum 41.
Yeah, they were on your show.
Yeah.
You're never going to remember the name, I guess.
No, it's like a soundtrack song on American Pie 2.
It was, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know if it was, but you can just picture the high angle crane shot of the house party at night, like it's bumping. The establishing shot, that's the kind of song that would be over that.
It's the first big song. That's what it was. That was a huge worldwide song.
What's it called?
Fat Lip.
Right.
That was big in the Stiets and around the world.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are pictures of him getting banged up globally, right?
What's that?
He got globally banged up.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, there are pictures of him. They started out when they were like 15, right? Really yeah. young. So they kind of grew up on the road, and they were fine when they were really little sweet face kids that I think they were on. They opened up on the side stage at Somersault.
And they did were they? Just
all like under 17 or something, and sweet little kids. And then 2 years later, they're just like getting right into things, crazy party animal nut cases.
Who was the hardest partying band you ever crossed paths with? Like, legendary. Like, these guys are a nightmare.
Well, I mean, there's like, ones that go too far and you can tell it's not going to last because they're getting too banged up. But then you see, like, the lifer bands that are, like, old. Like, apparently, Nazareth. Remember that Scottish yeah. band? They were, like, apparently the most hardcore, but they were just old-school Scottish dudes that just got right banged up every night.
But could still pull it together for the show?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And that was, like, towards the end of the night, just a mess. Like, John Candy styles kept going and going. But nowadays, when you see bands, I don't know, there's some... I remember back in... the earlier days, the Trues used to get pretty pounded up.
Did they?
Me included with them.
Good East Coast lads.
Yeah. Back in the day, the Trailer Park Boys could get into things.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
The Three Boys. We had some crazy nights.
I just never had the stamina. Like, especially if it starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Or earlier, like by 8, I'm just done.
Yeah.
I could never do the, like, 5-to-5 shift. What was it a day in the life of Jeremy Taggart at Mandalay Bay killing a week off like? Like, did you gamble? Oh, did you lay by the pool? What did you do?
Yeah, I ended up playing 21 blackjack for, like, 3 days straight.
Really?
And I remember at one point I kept getting credits and stuff. Because I was playing for so long, but I was averaging like $15 to $30 bets for like 7 hours or something.
Whoa.
But I was doing well. So I remember I was up $5,000 and then back up $1,000 from there. And I remember that the pit boss actually came over to me and told me to stop.
Why?
He's like, listen, because I don't know. He was just a good dude, liked me.
He's like, man,
listen,
tap out, bud.
You're just going to give it all back. Like, stop. There's no point here. I can see you're going the other way. It's over. I think I saved like $1,200 because of that.
So it's just because of the timing, right? That's just math. You're bound to lose at some point, and the trick is knowing when to tap
and
out.
When it's weird. It's odd, but when you're rolling, you're rolling. And when you're not, you're not. That's just a general feeling. You don't just keep going up and down all the time. It's usually one way, and then it turns. And when it turns, it doesn't really go back. Especially from bad to actually from good to bad.
But when you're up $5,000, don't you have in your head, like, all right, if I get down to $4,000, I'll stop.
Yeah, I was up $5,000, like, on the Monday with, you know, 4 days to kill. And there was nothing, honestly, like... there was nothing to do there. I wasn't drinking at that time. This was before I did, so I was just, you know,
literally putting in time.
I didn't even have my license, so I couldn't like rent a Testarossa or some Ferrari or something for a day, which I probably would have done if I had a license,
right.
Because everyone else was doing that shit. But yeah, I was just sitting around gambling. That was it.
Crazy.
So
in the harsh light of day, it's kind of a devastating place. Like, I've been going walks
nowadays,
in the morning.
As soon as you walk in the casino, it doesn't matter what time it is, it feels exactly the same, right?
Yeah, because they pump air in and there are no clocks anywhere.
And there's no lights up outside. Everything's so bright. It's like daylight inside. And you're at Caesars, which is always insanely immaculate and makes you feel like you're woke up every 5 seconds.
Yep, it's true.
Have you gone out at all there?
Like, out on the town?
No, dude. Not anymore, I guess. Or not really, just hit the...
Yeah, I've had a couple drinks with the folks that I'm here with. Like, just kind of lobby bar styles and had dinner at Mr. Chow and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But honestly,
have you gone around a bit?
Everything's so far.
Yeah.
I know that sounds dumb. I've gone for walks up and down the strip, like to get some fresh air and get some exercise. But the idea of like we're going out at night and I'm going to head down the strip is to like, oh my god, it's not that.
Yeah,
it's like, a 20-minute head walk down the to get to the lobby.
20-minute walk to the
I'm exaggerating a bit.
No, but you walk to the next hotel and it's exactly the same as the one you were just at. There's exactly. no difference. And everyone keeps saying, "Oh no, you got to go to the Cosmopolitan."
Oh, you got
to
see it. You just got to see it. Oh, you got to see it.
You get sick and tired of like big, ridiculous, gaudy buildings that were built 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Because if it's now, anything 10 years old gets knocked down because there's nothing there. There's no vibe. As soon as it's out of style, it gets destroyed.
Well, yeah, I guess Caesars is confronting that a little bit now because it was kind of the grand dame in her day. But she's a little tired, bud.
Right. That's the thing. It's such a big property, though, right? Like, it's one of the biggest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There are 4,000 rooms here, and it's been sold out the entire week.
That's insane.
I know it sounds so obvious, but just the mechanics around, like if you isolate one thing, how on earth can they do that much laundry with wet towels?
They probably have laundry mats on like each floor.
They must. You know
what I mean? Like 15 machines just down in the hall. And that when you're made there, you probably have your own little deal or sharing a floor and you literally don't have to go anywhere.
Or just watching them serve dinner in a ballroom to 1,000 people and everyone gets their plate set down at the same time, like within 2 minutes.
Yeah, imagine
the vat of
soup.
Yeah.
Just making that amount of food. Imagine how big that kitchen must be.
Well, imagine the waste. What do you do with 1,000 half-eaten chicken breasts?
Yeah.
Really? What do you do with that?
The guys who are all nursed up on the booze, so they just have a little tiny bite of food and they're still partying.
Oh my god.
So it's just
people sitting in depends at the 5-cent nickel slots. Awful. All right, we have one song left, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Who's going, me?
I think it's you, yeah.
See if you can identify this Cannot track. I miss you like crazy, even more than words can say. I miss you like crazy, every minute of every day. Girl, I'm so down, your love's not around. Do you know what's making me laugh? Huh?
What's the song called?
Miss You.
Miss You Like Crazy?
It's Miss You Like Crazy by the Moffats.
The Moffats. I wasn't going to get that one. That's
Triplets and another dude. The thing that's making me laugh about the Moffats is imagining them playing that song on stage, and then they cut to you sitting in the crowd watching it. What is the look on your face as that's happening?
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's go to your track.
I'm going to tell you something. Nelly Furtado took so much heat for her version of the national anthem. And
I know. Man.
I get that she changed the melody a bit, and you probably shouldn't do that because it's a sacred song. But
I saw the ripping apart that she was getting on social media, so I looked at it, and I thought it was going to be way worse.
Same.
I thought she'd be like, I thought she'd be doing that stuff. Like, okay, then. It's valid. Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada. That's for sure. I thought the ratio of heat she took to how bad it was completely out of whack. I thought really she did a stripped-down version of Oh, Canada where she changed the melody in places she probably shouldn't have.
Like, yeah, but exactly. That's it. Like, she didn't change it that much. It was just kind of cheesy. I don't know what she was thinking, but like it's not that bad.
No, and it wasn't Roseanne Barr at the baseball game grabbing her crotch and spitting. Like it didn't deserve the backlash that it got.
Or Burton Cummings when he's doing the old Canada with the little beatbox.
What?
Have you not seen that?
No.
He's doing it's Burton Cummings, Oh Canada, and it's just like brutal.
Where?
But it's classic. He changes it a bit.
What? How have I not seen this?
I'll jam it up for you. Hang on.
Jam her up for me.
Yeah, it's classic.
Am I going to need to get the intimacy kit out? Like, is it really...
I don't know if it's... Oh, it's the Grey Cup. That's the one. It's literally called a fail.
Hit it.
Here it comes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so nervous for him.
He's sitting there on his keyboard. Starting the beatbox. Oh, this isn't the one. But there is a beatbox. It's in six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's like thinking it's awesome.
Is he? Was it in Winnipeg? Oh, yeah. Is that why?
No, it's in Toronto.
Was it Grey Cup 50?
Grey Cup 100.
100, right. Oh my gosh.
I think this one's better. This is the one I...
No. No!
This is vintage. Get the little the keyboard beep.
No.
Bye.
We want.
Oh, it's so great. And then
I want to hear him hit the big note at the end.
It's like syrup, nice and soft, his voice.
What's he going to do for the big finish? Keep it loungy, or is he going to give it?
91. Blackhawks versus the Jets.
Here we go. Hit free, bud. Give her the onions.
Here it comes. Zooming in on the queen on the video.
Why didn't he do the octave on free?
Oh no, they're ripping in on the American flag here. Here it comes. Changes it, the beat keeps going. Mash up.
No. And he has a little Casio tone on top.
Totally.
Did he press go on the Casio?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Burton, do you want us to handle the beat? No, I'll do it.
I got it.
This national anthem feels like a good way to end episode 59, bud.
I wonder if he's going to cut it on time. Is he going to cut it perfect? Oh, liberties. Canada. No, oh.
Spurn Cummings, you can take out the O if he wants. What?
Oh, he's changing her up here. We stand
he forgot the
guard.
Lyrics.
He's banged up for sure.
Is he?
I'd bet. It's nighttime.
Is the crowd feeling it or not really?
Oh, they're getting into things. They're allowing him the liberties.
Yeah, but he's Burton Cummings. Hey, good talking
to
you, bud.
I own Salisbury House. Salisbury House.
Does he own Salisbury House?
I think he's got a stake in there somewhere.
Well, I'm sure he's had a few stakes in there, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure, yes.
Good chatting, bud.
Oh, I still got one.
Do you?
I cannot.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, okay, hit me.
You got your last cannot. Are you ready?
Yes. Make love in the club, Usher?
Intense opening.
Oh.
It's kind of like I hate my life.
I hate my life. That's the Krogues. Is the Krogues on 2 packs of Export A Greens a day?
I've never seen him fresh darts.
So why is his voice like that?
Just got it from the birth, baby. Here comes the chorus with the Mutt Lang stop. Gotta be somebody, Nickelbacks.
Is that what it's called? Gotta be somebody?
Gotta be somebody. There's gotta be somebody for me like that.
I mean, Mutt Lang could have written Rockstar, because that's a list of the things that rock stars have and people want.
They're really working the list on these lyrics.
The, can you ever hear
just
the Canadianity?
Off the issues.
Can you ever hear the West Coast Canadianity in Krogue's voice in Rockstar when he says, hang out in the coolest bars? The way he hits coolest is so Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Hang out in the coolest
Alberta.
Bars.
Living in Van, been living in Van for like 2 years.
Van City.
Van, going to Van, going to Nanaimo.
It's
weekend.
The long A.
You're going to hit a, going to Van, and then I'm going to, what's that, the surf destination?
Tofino.
Northern West. Going to go to Tofino and then Van.
We went to Van and rented a van and went to Ukulele. What's it called? Yuki. That's what the locals call it.
Quitlam?
You clue it.
Oh, yeah.
You clue it. We're going to Yuki. Like, Tofino's like a bit like crowded, so we usually go to Yuki. But you fly in a van and then take the ferry, or you can take the float plane. It's beautiful. You clue it is beautiful.
You clue it. Okay. Beautiful stuff this week on this 59th.
Beautiful stuff this week, bud. By the way, if you're in Ucluelet, Jason Priestley owns a hotel there.
And let us know what you think.
It's beautiful.
Yeah?
Yuki.
Swank. Swank little number.
Terrace Beach Resort. That's what it's called. If you're in the Ucluelet area, stay at Terrace Beach Resort. It's a beautiful spot. This week's episode of Taggart and Torrance brought to you in part by Terrace Beach Resort. Terrace Beach Resort. It's in Yuki, not far from Van. Thanks for listening,
bud.
Again, the bat.
Thanks, bud.
School about boom gong gang okay doom gong ju boom bounce doom bam bam tick a doom down.